3.
This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of The Dr. Ivan Show. I am a clinician with 20 years of experience. I help people work through many types of relationship and adjustment-related issues. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. Today, I'd like to talk about the benefit of professional psychological services to both the aging parent and especially to the loved one, the support system, the person helping the aging parent go through their most difficult process. Professional psychological services may help you manage well the difficulties associated with your aging parent, as well as enhance the quality of care that you are able to provide your parent. I'm currently working with a physician who has just last week lost her mother. She had first come in for treatment several months ago as her mother started to notably decline, both physically and cognitively. Just about a year earlier, she had lost her father after equally well supporting him in every way possible. And it is fair to say that despite her having done everything right for her father, she was left somewhat traumatized by the experience of watching her father die, not to mention the grief that she had continued to experience in response to this profound loss. You can only imagine how she felt in anticipation of going through this all too difficult situation once again, now with her mother. When she first came in, she presented as depressed. She had no longer felt much of the enjoyment in her life. She continued to work and perform in her professional capacity to the highest standard for her patients. She was consumed by two activities and two activities only. They were taking care of her patients and then also taking care of her mother. She moved her mother into a beautiful apartment, which she paid for, close to her home so that she could get there often and close to her mother's hospital treatment center. She coordinated care between herself, her sisters, and then a paid in-home caretaker for the balance of the time remaining that her mother needed care. This, in addition to overseeing all of her mother's medical care-related services and visiting her daily, at least at mealtimes, and sometimes beyond. Her marriage suffered as she and her husband, who remained good friends, had elected to reside apart from one another some years prior. She had no interest in going out with friends nor attending outside work functions. The only social activities she affords herself is those that she participates in with her adult son and daughter-in-law. She is very, very devoted to her family. She is very consumed with showing up for them and being the consummate professional. But there's somebody missing here in all of the good that she does. She's missing herself. Now, needless to say, she is a very intelligent and compassionate person. Her priorities are well established, and she has reason to be very proud of how she has stood by and supported both of her parents in their greatest time of need. The only person in the situation who has been neglected and has suffered unnecessarily is the daughter caretaker herself. As is unfortunately so often the case, she, one of the daughters, assumed more of a position of mother in the caretaking responsibilities of her parents and has sacrificed her own well-being in the process. But unlike the many martyrs of the world, she never once complained about this, or even felt as though this was something that was unfair to her. She never even felt bad about it. She feels bad in her daily living, in her experience of life, in the quality of of life that she's currently experiencing, but it's not anything that she feels is a terrible situation to be in. She's thinking of herself last, or in fact, I should say, not thinking of herself at all. This is just the point here. She had apparently lost the better part of herself through this process. There was no semblance of balance in her life situation. When I think about this as an overview of all that has transpired in her life over the past several years of taking care of her parents, I am only sorry that she had not sought out professional psychological services earlier, in that it could have helped her a great deal. And the earlier one intervenes, typically the better the result. It's an easier time then to achieve the treatment objectives, and there's less time then for the affected person to suffer. To her credit, she was able to ultimately find her way into treatment. She is truly in every way, shape, and form an overachiever, in that she has made great strides in addressing and working through many common, though essential, issues related to her parents, herself, and the caretaking role that she has lovingly assumed. And this has made the process that she has gone through with her mother far less difficult than the gut-wrenching process she had gone through with her father just 1 year prior. She is grief-stricken, as any loving adult child would be, in light of losing their parent. However, as she reported just last week, she is so thankful for having had the opportunity to work things through and adequately prepare herself for the regrettable inevitability of her mother's passing. She had done so by making key decisions during the process that had shaped her good feeling over how she had managed various crucial decisions that needed to be made throughout the process of her mother's decline. Now, she is left feeling no regret, which I think is probably one of the greatest gifts a person can give themselves. To show up in a way that you know is doing right by your loved one, and to do so in a way that'll leave you feeling well after the fact. To leave you with, shall we say, peace of mind, which these days seem so often not the case. As people play Monday morning quarterback as a regular thing, and by that I mean waiting till after the effect of whatever it is they have done, and then regretfully reflecting upon what could have been better or what could have been done differently, and feeling bad about missed opportunities. You absolutely can't go back. When things are done, they're done. But instead of just saying, turn a blind eye to the past, what we're talking about here is thinking ahead, preparing yourself for the inevitable, doing the work that you need to do to get the best result so that when you are in that position of influence, you can feel good about yourself, the loved one that you're helping, and then feel good thereafter. So feeling no regret is the greatest gift that she had given herself. She is left with a healthier appraisal of having done all that was humanly possible for her mother, and having done so in the most loving way. And for the first time, she was able, with her relative degree of balance now that she had established, to do so without completely neglecting herself and her own needs in the process. This is something that she had not managed as well in her father's passing process. She had further stated that she had especially benefited from having a safe place in which she could process and make sense of all of the other stray information and unelicited advice that she had received from well-intentioned but misguided family and friends. Information that she might otherwise had blindly accepted or at least deferred to in the interest of keeping the peace due to being in an all-consuming predicament. The point here is that if she, a very intelligent and compassionate person, who had already been very sophisticated about the medical components of her parents' process of decline, coupled with her personal commitment to be all in on being as complete a loving support system for her parents as well, could benefit greatly from participating in her own psychological treatment process during this very trying time in her life. Don't you see the potential benefit of availing yourself of the same invaluable resource? You don't have to go this alone. Please stay tuned. When we come back, we'll talk to some callers, and I'll have some tips for you moving forward on how you can make this decision as to whether or not it might affect you positively as well. Please stay tuned. This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We have Cassandra on the line. Cassandra, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
I understand you have some parent issues.
Yes, so my sister and I have a problem with our parents because they want to retire and they want to move to Florida, but we're all here, so it wouldn't make sense for them to go over there because we can't help them.
Where is here?
And we don't, I'm sorry,
where
Manhattan.
Do you live? Manhattan, okay.
Manhattan, yes.
Okay. Are they well? Are they healthy? Are they capable of managing their own affairs?
Our father has diabetes, so my mother pretty much takes care of it, but we just like to have them close so that we can do as much as we can by taking them to appointments and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So how do you resolve this? What do you think? What's the discussion that's currently going on with respect to this issue?
We are trying to convince them to just stay here, or we can find them because they want to live in a first floor apartment, and we can find that for them. We don't think they need to go all the way to Florida for that. We can find that for them, but they're just not willing to compromise with us. This is what they want, and we understand because they're retired, but it's just, I don't think it's the right time.
And how old are they?
They're in their late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I have to respectfully disagree with you. I love the fact that you and your family really want to be there for their parents. I think you're doing the right thing in that respect. But my goodness, I mean, they've worked their whole lives, and this may have been a dream that they've been working toward for all of their life. And though you're right, there would be tremendous benefit in having family close by to intervene if something were to present. How do you rob them of the opportunity to kind of realize this dream? I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility when, in fact, they move for them to enjoy it, get it out of their system, and then if they do become more medically compromised down the road, be willing to come back at that point. What do you think about that in the light of compromise?
I think that it doesn't sound like a bad idea, but I think that I would need some comfort knowing that things are well with the diabetes with my father, and then I guess I would be okay to compromise that. As long as I know that it's not anything to worry about, I would be okay with it, I guess.
You know, and I think that's a very loving gesture, and I think that's a whole lot more achievable than trying to change your parents' minds. And I got to tell you, I mean, may I ask your age?
I am 25.
All right. Well, again, bless your heart for being so mature at that, to me, young age. I mean, I am close to your parents' age, I have to say. And as we get older, you might expect, we think that old age is a lot later. So when I was your age, I'm sure I thought, wow, 50 is ancient. But I can tell you now, with so many of my patients being in their 90s and even several over 100, life expectancy is a great deal longer now, and with medical care being what it is, there's reason to believe, as you say, with appropriate management of whatever the conditions that your parents might have, that they have a good number of years remaining. I mean, let's think about it this way. Say they were, nice round numbers, both to live to 90, and say they had 30 plus years remaining. Would it be reasonable, do you think, for them to stay where they don't wish to be for another 30 plus years, just so at the very end point you could be there for them?
I mean, I understand. I guess, yeah, you're right. Because I want them to be happy when you know, it's their time. I want them to be in a place where they're happy and not, you know, miserable.
Right, right, right. And so I think that back to what you had said earlier, it's a very healthy and reasonable objective to want to oversee your parents' treatment process. I think you're absolutely right to not just turn a blind eye and say, okay, well, good riddance, either do it my way or I'm out of the picture. I mean, you love them.
Right.
The whole point here is that you want to support them. So I would suggest that you make a site visit. You go down to the area that they wish to relocate and do some homework. Find out in the area what the best medical treatment facility might be, and maybe even think about having them kind of sign on with a gerontologist, which is an elder care physician. Even though I don't know that they meet the criteria at this point for that, given that Dad does have diabetes
and
some medical. Well, and I mean, they're still physicians, right? They still can treat all of the normal things that any general practitioner can treat. But an elder care physician can be keenly aware of those things to come and kind of intervene in a proactive way, not wait till kind of after the fact. So I think that might be the best compromise. Now, do you have a sister as well who's weighing in on the situation?
She actually can't weigh in right now, but she was on my side about the situation. So I guess I would have to talk to her about it.
I guess that's my point, is you have to kind of rally the troops and make sure that all people are kind of like on the same side. And that's the other thing I have to speak with about people is you know, you care so much, and oftentimes there's going to be different opinions, and perhaps both sides have a good point, but you have to remember that you're not opponents. Right? I mean, you're all on the same sides, even with different opinions. You're all on mom and dad's side, and you really want to kind of make this as responsible but harmonious a process as possible. And so make sure that you guys don't lock horns or dig your heels in and kind of insist on things that really aren't within your control. Rightly so. I mean, it's your parents' decision to kind of live where they do. But I think that's a really nice kind of solution to be able to kind of honor your parents' wishes, which they've worked hard and earned, and be able to have the appropriate peace of mind and safeguard that you and your sister need to ensure their well-being.
Yeah, we just didn't want to live with the what ifs. What if we did? What if we could have done something else, or what if we could have just avoided the whole situation? Like, God forbid, something was to happen. You know, that was what it was.
You're exactly right. And I love how you're thinking kind of in advance. You're not waiting for a crisis. You're trying to prevent the crisis. But, you know, maybe another little piece to this arrangement is, I wonder if your parents would responsibly agree to maybe come back at that time when there is issues of medical compromise. That might be, you know, a really, really nice, you know, compromise where everybody gets their healthy needs met. Hey, mom, dad, you have our blessings. We support you. We'll come visit you when we can, but we're working. It's hard. We're committed to living here. But can you at least give us the peace of mind of knowing that when the docs say, and let that be the independent source of determining when that is necessary, when the docs say you need a little more in the way of health care and family support, that you will agree to come back at that point? They may find that less disagreeable.
I think that would be great, too, if they were able to compromise with us about that.
Very good. Well, all you can do is try. I so appreciate the call. Thank you very much, and good luck with your parents. Please give me a call back. Let me know how that goes.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. As Cassandra taught us, we have to be equally respectful of our parents' wishes and respectful of our own desire to do right by them. And sometimes the answer isn't one way or the other, but kind of striking a balance and creating a compromise to see to it that both reasonable, healthy, loving objectives are met simultaneously. Please stay tuned. I have a lot more for you when we return. You're listening to the Dr. Ivan Show, and this is the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. We'll be back in a few. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We have another caller on the line. Susie, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I called because I wanted to ask you, my parents are actually terrified of retiring. They have been workaholics their whole life, ever since, you know, I was growing up. My dad always worked two, sometimes even three jobs. My mom, you know, they've made enough money throughout their lives, but they just love working. And they're terrified of retiring. I guess they feel like they're getting old. I'm not really sure what it is, but I wanted to call and see if you talk to other people who have had similar problems.
You know, I have, and it's more common than you may imagine. But I guess the most important question that I have for you is, you say they're terrified of retiring and they're workaholics and they love what they do. They've done very well financially, so it's not any longer a situation where perhaps they need to work. But let me ask you this. Is there any reason why they need to retire? If they're terrified of it, it's not a requirement.
Right. Well, I mean, my dad is getting very old. He's almost 70. And he's also, you know, just getting weaker, generally speaking, tending to forget things here and there, just overall weakness. And, you know, he's more prone to illness now. Like, he gets a cold every few weeks, or he has trouble getting out of bed some days, you know, just like joint pains, headache, all that, you know, not fun stuff that you have to deal with as you age.
Sure.
I'm only 29, so I have really old parents, but yeah, I've been surprised just because I've been telling them, like, Dad, you need to just retire or take a break or something so you can get better, you know, until you feel like you're really ready to actually work again, or just retire. And he's like,
Let me ask you this. What does he do?
I'm too good for that. What does he do?
Too good for that. Interesting. Yeah, what does he do?
He's had a lot of just, like, random jobs in his life, but for the past 15 years, he's been working in a bakery that his dad used to own before my grandpa passed away. So he's been running the bakery, doing all the sales, making the bread fresh every morning.
And does he enjoy it? Is it a labor of love? Is it kind of a sentimental value, kind of keeping on the tradition? Or is it just burdensome? Does he come home kind of like, you know, completely dejected and discouraged and upset?
I think it's both of the first things you said. I think it's both a labor of love and, you know, keeping up the business that my grandfather started. He and his dad immigrated here back in the 80s. And so for them to be able to open up this bakery together, I think, you know, he wants to keep that alive and keep that going for his own dad. But at the same time, it is becoming a burden. It is becoming him coming home after working 13, 14 hours, you know, feeling depleted. And I'm just concerned for his overall health. I mean, he's already made it to 69, so I don't want him to just, like, collapse any day now because he's being overworked, you know?
Right, great point. And how about Mom? Does she work there or have another job, or is her job just making sure that he's okay?
Right. On the weekends, she works at a hotel as, a lobbyist or a receptionist, you'd want to say, whatever the term is.
Sure.
But she does help my dad, you know, during the weekdays at the bakery. So it is something that they do together, and they get fulfillment out of it. But she's also starting to experience, like, just terrible back pains, excruciating headaches, just like, you know, they've had to hire more people just to help them be able to do things, which, first of all, like, I don't see why they're there for 13, 14 hours a day if they have all this help.
Right.
Second of all, it's cutting into their business costs and they're making less money now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, I think from what you've shared with me, the solution probably is something of a compromise, right? I mean, I don't know that you can, you know, rob him of that opportunity, but you're absolutely right that he is getting up in age. And when you see your parents kind of suffering from physical ailments and medical conditions that, you know, weren't really relevant, you know, 5-10 years ago, you have to take notice of that. But maybe there's some way to strike a healthy balance. I would start with just, you know, having a sit-down conversation with him. This is far too important to just kind of, you know, address in passing with comments over the phone or comments as you're coming to and from. Ask him, hey, Dad, beyond kind of the obvious, beyond the fact that it's your income and it's your life's work, what all is at play here? Because you may find that there's something far more primitive, something far more important that he hasn't really identified. And once you can identify what the objective is, then you can better intervene. Then you can say, well, okay, maybe we can honor that need of yours in this or that way, right? And then you're starting to talk the same language. But I'm afraid that, you know, from your 29-year-old perspective, you have a very valuable piece of information that is missing him, because he's coming from a 69-year-old perspective, and you're not really speaking the same language in that respect. But is he somebody who would have kind of a really non-defensive, non-kind of competitive, argumentative conversation about kind of what all might underlie this for him?
No, he's very stubborn. Both my parents are. That's why they don't want to retire.
Well, there you have it. You know, and I'll tell you what else might be at play here. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was just thinking that maybe I could do what you're saying and talk to them. And then I wanted to kind of suggest to them, like, you guys, instead of, you know, doing this manual labor that you've been doing for 30 plus years now, it might be better considering, you know, I want to be careful how I phrase it. I don't want to talk about being like, oh, Dad, you're just old now, you know. But I was thinking advising that maybe they just supervise, like they just check in throughout the day, you know, and that way they have time throughout the day to just relax or read or spend time together, or go get lunch. You know, they don't have to be doing all this manual labor. They can just pop into the bakery. They've hired all these people, and the business is still making money. So like I said, the issue's never been money for them. I think they're workaholics, and they don't know how to live any other way.
Right. And I think you're absolutely right. If they can kind of, you know, transition into more of a supervisory capacity, then they still have the benefit and the meaningful kind of component of being the brains of the operation without having to overtax their body. That would be great if they're receptive to that. There's a saying that a lot of people use that you might utilize in kind of promoting this perspective with them. You know how people say, Dad, you know, as you get older, you're supposed to work smarter, not harder. I think that fits. I think that's exactly what we're talking about here. And so I think most people I know have heard that phrase before. And when you say that, you can say it's a saying for a reason. It's a saying because a lot of people can relate to that. So that might be kind of like an inroad to kind of getting this conversation spoken about. I think that that'll be really kind of the first step. But as I started to say a moment ago, there might be something that you are inadvertently missing. And again, I don't know your father, so I can't say whether or not this is the case, but I know a lot of aging people, the irrational fear underlying, hey, I will not give up my work, is what will I do? And the people I know who have given up their life's work tend to die shortly thereafter. I don't know if they know any people who have died shortly after retirement, but unfortunately, it's relatively common. And if that were the underlying issue, then that's something that can be addressed as well. You could say, hey, listen, the less time you're spending at work, the more time you can put into maintaining your health and being a little more careful with what you eat and bringing down the level of stress, which I think is the greatest toxin in the human body. If you can help kind of, you know, enlist his support in that job, it's almost kind of like reframing. He would say, without the bakery, I am unemployed and I have no work. Whereas you might say, maybe it's time for the bakery to be a smaller job and the greater job, the priority be the job of keeping yourself healthy and well so that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Right. I agree.
But yeah, reframing it as such, then he still has a job. And you know, from I know kind of my parents and grandparents, the prospect of not working often leaves, you know, the older generation is feeling as though they lack then purpose. And so in a way, it's kind of an existential issue, right? If they define themselves by their work and it's just something that, you know, is kind of old school, you know, you can't say right or wrong. It just kind of is. Mm-hmm. And in the absence of work, that might be the feared result, is that I don't want to just kind of like, you know, eat and breathe and take up space. I want to be a contributing, valuable member to society. And then the other thing that you can broach with them is, hey, listen, there are so many ways to provide purpose and value. You can volunteer. You guys have enough money. Or you can educate. Or you can supervise. Or you can consult. These are things that he may not have considered. But I think you're absolutely right to kind of broach this topic and not let him work himself into an early grave. I mean, that is the fear. And if you can get them to be reasonable and have a sit-down conversation, you might be able to kind of strike a balance where he's not required to give this up completely, but you're able to help him kind of pull back from that, scale back, and take better care of his health. I thank you so much for the call. Very, very kind of you to
thank
call
you.
And share your story with us. Good luck. Please let me know how that turns out. Susie has been very helpful in helping us understand that there are many, many things at play here beyond the standard issue that you might be in conflict with. Please respect your parents' wishes while trying to promote your own objective of keeping them healthy in conversation with them over these things as they present. Please stay tuned. Be back in a few. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. Today we've been talking about professional psychological services and how that may help you better manage the difficulties associated with your aging parent, as well as enhance the quality of care that you're able to provide to your parents. I've got a couple questions to help you determine whether or not you're at that stage, whether or not this might be beneficial to you. But before I get there, I want to make sure that people are hearing me correctly. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely not saying that you are necessarily doing anything wrong by yourself, nor that this is something that cannot be done well without the aid and support of an experienced clinician. Rather, I'm merely stating that this is a very difficult, though natural, situation that most people will find themselves in, and that it's responsible for you to at least ask yourself the question, at least be prepared for what is to come if you're not, for some reason, somehow in the know of how this process will likely unfold. It can help in so many ways. It can help in small ways. It can help in larger ways. But then the question becomes, if in fact it could be beneficial, why wouldn't one avail themselves of this resource? So it's merely a question for consideration, not an indictment, not a requirement. But I feel far too few people actually intervene early on in the process. I know a lot of people know, okay, that's there for the taking if need be, but too many people wait until they're in crisis to intervene. And though that is a viable benefit of this process, and that is certainly what one should do if they find themselves in that state, my goal is to help you avoid the crisis. If you can be proactive in your approach, if you can get the necessary, helpful support to navigate through this difficult terrain in advance of finding yourself in the thick of it, you and your parent may benefit greatly from that. So, back to some considerations for you in determining whether or not this might be useful or helpful for you at this point. Ask yourself, and honestly consider, are you feeling overwhelmed or spread too thin with respect to navigating and managing and juggling the conflicting demands of your own household, perhaps raising a family, working, while having to show up for your parent and make sure that their needs are met? It's a lot to ask, but it's a situation that so many of us find ourselves in. Two, do you find yourself being more angry or irritable or even stressed out at the proposition of having to do double duty, take care of your own affairs and your parents simultaneously? Three, are you at all in denial or engaging in what I've called wishful thinking with regard to avoiding the unpleasant reality of your parents' decline and larger aging-related process? It's an all-too-common scenario where we just don't want to see things that we find disagreeable, and then we make excuses for them. We explain away what might otherwise be somewhat unsettling because it's just easier in the moment to view it some other way. You and I both know, though, that doesn't change reality. That may kind of comfort ourselves in a small way for temporary purposes, But it's like the ostrich phenomenon, right? Burying your head in the sand doesn't make the reality of what you don't see any longer any less than real. And then four, do you feel unprepared or lack the information, direction, or answers that you feel you need to serve your parents most well at this their greatest time of need? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you might seriously consider the potential benefit of talking to somebody. As you know, ultimately, you are still in the power position. You will not relinquish any of that control. Really, all this process has to offer you is perspective, perhaps information, a different vantage point from which to view the situation that is before you. And it'll help you kind of think things through. I've always said, one of the largest benefits that my patients have received over the years has not so much been what I may have stated in response to what they've shared, but it gives them an opportunity to hear themselves speak aloud the things that are kind of floating around in their heads. Because I can tell you clearly, the things you think are very different in response than the things you say. When you hear yourself say the things you've been thinking all along, sometimes you're able to kind of put that in a different place. You're able to say, well, I know I've been thinking that for a long time, but now that I hear myself speak that, that's not representing how I feel. It's a whole lot easier to fly under the radar or to let yourself kind of continue to think something that's less than accurate or less than efficient if you keep it up in your head. But having a safe, responsible, reliable, informed perspective with which to share this can help you hear things and see things in a different light. Many, many times over the years, physicians have referred spouses or children of declining individuals to me for help in coping with their upset and frustration of a loved one declining. And many times it has only taken one or two sessions to help the client better understand both what is happening to them as well as their loved one. In this way, they usually are better able to put things into a healthy perspective and learn more effective and adaptive coping strategies, which will aid them in dealing with this most difficult situation. And in the process, they're better able to help support the declining parent or spouse through this experience. Please stay open-minded. Please consider what I'm saying. I know every situation is a unique situation. There's no one-size-fits-all. But it is something that you need to be at least aware of as an option in the event the need arises. And if it does present, it's good to have already done your homework in advance and be prepared for that. You don't want to, when you're in a situation of crisis or great need, have to do the investigative process as to where to turn and what your best move might be at that point. Set yourself up for success, and that is the best way to help you intervene, take good care of yourself, and take care of your loved ones. I thank you so very much for listening and joining me. I'll be back next Monday, February 29th at 11 a.m. This is perhaps one of the most important things that you will be faced with, and that is taking good care of yourself while taking care of your aging parents. It is something that if you do well, you'll feel good about having done well for the rest of your years. I thank you so much for staying tuned. I look forward to seeing you, speaking with you, talking to you next time I'm here in 2 weeks from today. Thank you very much and be well.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.